This is Rad Radio. Call the show anytime at 888-989-9811. This is Rob, Anybody, and Dawn.
Email follow-ups, R-A-D, at radradio.com. First one is from Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine.
So we gave away tickets to see Foreigner, which we'll do again in about 30 minutes. And somehow we were connecting Foreigners and 9/11, and I made a segue into the giveaway. And then Brandon kind of tried to carry it on and actually went to the trouble at the end of the game to literally apologize for the way it came across. And Jasmine says, Brandon, I'm glad you apologized since it clearly mattered to you. But your heart is so kind. Please don't be so hard on yourself. We all say things that don't match our spirits sometimes.
Exactly.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Tracy wrote in because it's National Banana Day. And we were talking about, what is it, like 10%-ish of people like them when they're more on the green side. Half of you like them all pure yellow. And Kyle, you like them with some green.
Yes.
And Tracy says, yes, I love green bananas. In fact, once they turn yellow, they go to the dogs.
Oh.
But then at some point, you know, Dawn went on her rant because if you disagree with her opinion, you're a horrible human.
I don't think that's how it went.
She was talking about being in the, you know, I think your story was something like you see them in the store and you're like, why, kind of thing. Okay, there's two answers to it, and one of them, which is what we were talking about, is there's people like Kyle,
yes,
yeah,
that like them green,
love them, man.
And Ryan has the other answer, but remember, there's multiple answers. She says they want the green ones, people that are buying them, so they last longer. You get green and yellow, and the green are ready after the yellow ones. Right. That is true as well. If you're if you're a banana a day person, the perfect bunch, half of them are green, so that, you know, a few days later they're ready.
But see, when I used to see, before this story today, and you'd see the green ones, I would say, who wants them green? But then I also would follow it up with, Jesus, how long are they letting them sit on their counter? Like, right? Like, that's a long time. And maybe it's because bananas don't last long in our house. My father-in-law, Pops, that lives with us, loves bananas. So it's like, you can't get them green. You got to get them ready and ready to go because he's eating them all the time.
In the Kyle condo, usually when I get the bananas and they're green, I eat the green ones as quick as I can. And then the ones that stay yellow, I try to just leave there so they get a little bit of brown on them, and then banana bread's made.
Yes, that is that's the best. The best the banana bread is made with the browned bananas.
Right, you need them a little more than a little brown.
Yeah.
They gotta be like
borderline
damn near brown.
Yeah. Polka dotted.
Yeah.
Sid, though, is on Team Rob. He says the best color of a banana is the garbage color, as they belong in a deep trash can. You and me, Sid. I gotcha. Bridget says, I love listening to you guys talk about food, but I can always count on Kyle to give me the diabetes version.
No problem.
Yes, yeah. he wants to add marshmallows to Rice Krispie. Or not.
Extra.
Extra marshmallows to the new Rice Krispie treat peanut butter flavor.
Yeah. Make it a sandwich.
A s'more sandwich or whatever. And then we started to, and I shut it down, get into one of the world's dumbest arguments, because it's literally science, that bananas are berries. And it's not determined by how they look or what Kyle thinks a berry should look like.
Stupid.
And Angelica wrote in a whole thing. I don't thank you, Angelica. I'm aware of, as you say, scientifically speaking, a banana is a berry, just like eggplants, grapes, etc. Or yes, that's right. It's science, as Brandon said. And then Aaron wrote in and said, hey, does that mean that Rob's a berry now because he's round? And according to Kyle, all berries are
round. Ooh, and you're
round.
A man with seeds.
But does it matter, though?
Females with seeds.
Does it matter that my seeds are no longer fertile? They're all sterile.
So you're a bad banana.
Oh.
Or a bad berry.
All bananas are bad in my world.
Well, you're wearing blue today, so you remind me a lot of the blueberry girl from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, where she blows up and gets super fat and then disappears.
Yeah, Veruca Salt.
Is that her name?
Yeah.
Dawn, are you laughing because for the same reason I'm giving the look I'm giving?
What?
Both. My original was fat. Which I know you are.
What?
Watch out, the Oompa Loompas.
What color would you describe this shirt that I'm wearing?
Oh, violet.
More like a
violet. Violet's in the purple family.
It's more like it's in like a
aqua,
aquamarine? Like a Tiffany blue, maybe.
Sure.
Or a little lighter than that.
Yeah, it's not
but
blue.
But not blue.
No.
You're thinking of man blue. Not that you're not a man right now wearing that blue.
Right. No.
But you know, the typical man blue.
Yeah. I mean. Blue. So what's the second reason? What was the second reason then you're losing it?
Kyle, this description of you being that girl.
Oh, good. Thank you. It's just literally now bouncing off of me because, you know, everything does since I'm so enormous, apparently. We have some entertainment news.
Overture curtain.
this email, rad@radradio.com, from Chris.
Hey, Chris.
So they played the Billy Joel 100th concert at Madison Square Garden last weekend on CBS. They're replaying it this Friday. You can watch it anytime you want at Paramount Plus. Billy Joel came up on the show a while ago, and Brandon had mentioned it's one of his bucket list things. He'd never seen Billy Joel, and I went, God, me neither. God damn it. And then somebody was nice enough to write in and go, you know, he is actually going out on tour. And sure enough, he's going to be in Vegas in November. I asked Brandon if he'd like to go. Stupid family and other issues, life issues, yeah. Can't make the date work.
Yeah.
But Dawn's husband texted me and said, I want to go. Not we, you know, no. Dawn. Dawn doesn't have any taste, but I want to go.
I'm just along for the ride. I support
and,
my hubby.
You know, and I'm like, well, that's perfect because, you know, my poor wife, Christina, she's going to be surrounded by white people listening to white music so she and Dawn can hang out. And my wife still doesn't, like, even know who Billy Joel is. So I told her last night, I said, look, because she did. She texted me. She said, you're going to have to, like, send me a playlist or something. And I said, we'll just watch the special. And the excitement in her face at that idea. So that'll be coming at some point.
So you're going to see a lot of guys and gals doing that lower bite of the lip.
Oh, like, yeah.
In the shimmy.
Uptown girl.
Billy Joel is, I'm a white girl. Well, I'm Sicilian, but they don't give us that box. I'm a white girl, and he is as white as you can get, I think. Like, he's Connecticut to me. Like, if you say, which state do you think he represents? Because to me, all of Connecticut is just white preppy people. And that is Billy Joel.
He's New York.
He's the ultimate New Yorker, but I know what you mean.
New York.
I know what you mean.
Thank you. You know what I was getting at.
Yeah, the symbolization. Yeah.
I only know a few songs by Billy Joel, but I imagine there's going to be a lot of people napping. Like, he seems like he's very, like, not a lot of energy. Like, you guys mentioned, biting your lip, doing the shake twist. I think there's more naps going on.
No, the reason they'll be napping, maybe that too, but the other reason is because there'll be all the blue hairs there, the white blue hairs.
Also,
they're tired. It's past their
also
bedtime.
Also completely untrue. Billy Joel is your pop version of like Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix, extraordinarily popular with the 18 to 40 crowd.
Oh my God,
so, you know, all these stupid stereotypes that we make up. Brandon's rolling his eyes because Kyle clearly doesn't know much of Billy Joel's library.
Well, not even the library. If you just watch the most recent performance that he did at the Grammys and then now this 3-hour special that's available. He is a very lively old man, and he performs. Wait. Okay.
Sing me a song, a piano man.
Okay, Kiss.
I love it.
Chris says, random question, Rob. I'm curious if you're interested or excited to see Sting, who's opening up for Billy Joel. I'm not a huge fan, but I'm stoked for the show. As like Brando, Billy Joel is a bucket list show. For me, I'm taking the wife for a weekend trip, and I'm actually hoping for a rad sighting, but I doubt it will happen. I don't know. Well, I mean, we'll be there all weekend. Who knows? I know you won't have as good a seats as we do, but, you know, that's your problem. No, I'm not excited about seeing Sting. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not going to intentionally show up late. I'm indifferent to Sting and the Police. Like, they exist.
Yeah.
In fact, now that I mentioned Sting and the Police, I wonder if my wife even knows any of their songs either. So,
who knows?
You're definitely going to have a rad sighting because you're going to see a Goodyear blimp sitting towards the front.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow, they usually fly over the venue.
Yeah. That blimp's too heavy. Your wife likes Usher, right, Christina?
Yes.
So Billy Joel, Uptown Girl, was sampled in one of Usher's newest songs called
Which is awesome.
A-Town, I think? Yeah, so maybe there's a connection there.
It's an awesome song. Yeah, which I don't know if she's heard that yet. And maybe that's what I do. I start her with Usher's A-Town song, which I forget what that song is called because the album's A-Town, isn't it?
I think the song is called A-Town, too.
Okay, or is it A-Town Girl?
Yeah, that's what it is. A-Town Girl. Yeah.
Either way, start her with that. And then since it's sampling Uptown Girl, you go right into Uptown Girl, and it's a way to let her. While the jokes about her being black are funny, remember she's also 20 years younger than me.
Yeah.
So the exposure to Billy Joel, as you see in Kyle's ignorance, being 20 years younger than me, of understanding all of Billy Joel is also generational depending, but doesn't go to Dawn's blue hair joke. Because he's extraordinarily popular with the younger crowd. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Quick thing on the A-Town Girl with Billy Joel and Usher. Does this A-Town Girl have boots with the fur and does she hit the floor?
No.
Just curious. No?
Do you want me to bust off a little piece of the ATM
girl? Yeah, if you've got it up and ready, I don't want to wait around.
She from the ATLANTA, reps on six folks from Cascade. Learned how to skate when she was in first grade. Went to Clark and graduate. Moved up out of Buckhead to escape the city. Breakfast at Bonnie, she's so ratchet, yeah, she's so sedated. She be outside, but stay out the way at the same time. Working on her body down in Lifetime. Her new, probably a drug dealer. She say that she love him, but never post his picture. Yeah, I can tell by the way that she talk. She from round here, I gotta pull up on her. Every time I'm down here, I try to get her to move to LA. But she say that she can't. My little baddie's such a A-town girl. Yeah, she be riding in a foreign.
Right there is Uptown Girl. Even living in her white bread world. That's the Billy Joel.
But she's gonna, I mean, I'm disappointed now to hear Billy Joel's rendition, because that was so fun.
Yeah, not me. I mean, because Billy Joel's version to me is, that's one of my favorites. It's a fantastic song.
I am happy for you and Gary. That'll be amazing to see you happy.
Especially if you make it such a fun evening as you're making it seem like you're going to so far.
Lots of bathroom breaks for Christina and I.
Uptown Girls playing Bring out Usher! Boo! It's not even, my God, it's the 21st century! Boo!
Oh my gosh.
All right, next email from Entertainment News comes from Greg.
Oh, no.
This takes us back last week to I favorited on Circles, the social media app for positivity, where you follow people that you know or trust, and they give recommendations. And Christina and I checked into the new, not new, it's new to Netflix. It's actually a couple years ago. It didn't do well in theaters. It's a Mel Gibson movie called On the Line. Our only interest in it was he plays a radio talk show host, and in the trailer you can tell he's got a psycho on his hands who wants to threaten his family, basically. And so right away she saw it, because I was concerned, would this make her nervous because of what I do, or would she be intrigued?
Aww, yeah.
And she was intrigued. She's like, we got to see this. So we watched it, and we checked in first. You know, I can't favorite it until you see it, right? When we got done, I did favorite it, and I put in, because you can do this in Circles, I put in the trust tip. I'm paraphrasing here, but I think I got it right. Anyone with half a brain will want to turn this movie off in about 30 minutes. Because there were two or three times Christina's like, babe, come on, this is so stupid. And we're both yelling at the TV, like, why? What? Wait, this makes no sense.
What made you stick around? You might have told us, but I forget now. Why? Because that's not like you. Usually if something is bad, you're like, I'm out.
Well, because two reasons. One, if it ended as stupid as it was at 30 and 45 minutes, I had to come on the air and tell you about what a horrible movie this was. Instead, and the other thing was, I had in my brain an idea, which I texted myself and I told her, because we have that rule, right? We're watching something together, no cell phones. Said, hold on, I'm texting myself something about this movie for later. She said, fine. And I texted myself. And at the end of the movie, when my wife cheered out loud at the two twists, I showed her my cell phone. I said, it's not 100% right, but I was in the right area, wasn't I? She said, yeah, good job, babe. And that's why we watched all because that's the trust tip, is you're going to think, this is so stupid. Why am I watching this? And then when you get to the double twist at the end, within like 5 minutes of each other, most people that have heard back from have the same experience we did. Like, okay, everything makes sense now. This is Greg wrote in, Rob, I watched On the Line. I thought it was very entertaining with some definite lulls, and I told myself that I had to finish. I had to get to the twists. Mm-hmm. I was expecting the first twist. The second, only minutes later, was mind-blowingly perfect. Thank you for the recommendations and keep them coming. Okay? It's called On the Line. It's on Netflix. It stars Mel Gibson. This is from Lauren.
Hey, Lauren.
She says, I watched the movie On the Line tonight after Rob saying to watch it through to the end for the twists. I was expecting the movie to be as awful as The Best Christmas Ever. Although it wasn't as cringy, luckily.
That was terrible.
However, it was fairly predictable after knowing there would be a couple of twists.
Hmm.
It was around the time when, and this won't spoil anything because I'm going to stop the sentence. It was around the time when the police officer was introduced downstairs outside the building, dot, dot, dot. I know the exact scene she's talking about. That was the moment where Christina was like, I've had it. That is not what a cop would do. That is, and I'm sitting there going, yeah, it isn't. And that's why my brain is going, there's no way this movie can be this stupid. And if it is, like I said, I got to talk about it. She does say, though, Lauren says in the end, overall, it was worth the watch, but I don't think I would have watched it all had I not known about the twist. See, so it's a double-edged sword, right? Mm-hmm. Is I tell you, you've got to get to the end because there's twists, but that also means maybe you're looking for the twist early and you might not have the same entertainment value.
Well, because that would keep you interested.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, well, now that I know there is a twist, let me keep myself interested as I want to check out at 30 minutes. And that would make it more fun to look for that stuff to keep you around.
That's that. Yeah. So I'm going to stick with that as the trust tip. All right. The next email is from Liz. I want to thank her so much for emailing me about this movie, which I did some research on, and I found out it was extraordinarily popular on Amazon Prime, that people were checking into it, because I was like, well, if nobody's watching it, then I don't need to make a priority. But it's doing very well. It's a war quote movie. And in fact, Liz wrote in her email, I think I need therapy after watching this movie. I couldn't watch because some of the intensity. I think Christina needs to do a preview before tuning in. That's my wife. I know she's a badass, but I know you have also said there are certain scenarios she's not a fan of. So she watched the trailer with me and said, yeah, let's watch it. So it is called Land of Bad. Liam Hemsworth and Russell Crowe star. The plot is a Delta Force team is sent into a hostile area to attempt a rescue. Meanwhile, Russell Crowe's character, make fat jokes about me. Look at this bastard. Russell Crowe is a veteran pilot who's an excellent drone pilot, which is just what these guys need as things get messy. So you've got the Delta Force landing in hostile territory. You've got Russell Crowe sitting back in Las Vegas at Nellis Air Force Base, watching everything that's happening through the satellites and being able to use drones and also order airstrikes as needed, things like that. The Delta Force arrives. Rocket-propelled grenades are peppering their area. Meanwhile, Russell Crowe's watching all this. It is described correctly as a knuckle-biter through and through. Great action, fair amount of blood, and harrowing moments. One reviewer said, Land of Bad is one of the more intense military movies I've seen in a while. It is unbelievable. In fact, I sent a note to Gary, Dawn's husband, the morning after we watched it. And the text I sent to Gary was, watch Land of Bad on Amazon today. That is an order. It may literally be the best and most realistic modern military movie that truly shows what our guys and gals are going through every day. Christina tapped out on me twice, but finished it like a champ. For the rest of us, it is the true reminder of what badasses these MFers are. For those of you who don't know, my wife's a 12-year veteran, did a year in Afghanistan. I go on to say, I always thought that Lone Survivor, the Marcus Luttrell movie, is it Marcus Luttrell?
Yep.
Was a pretty good damn movie, and I still do, but that movie shouldn't even be mentioned in the same context as this one, is what I wrote to Dawn's husband, who wrote back the next morning, saying, I just finished Land of Bad, and holy blank word, that was intense. I honestly didn't know how it was going to end. What a way to portray how our military lived two different lives in the same day, and even the same office. That was one hell of a recommendation. If you have a proclivity at all towards those type of movies and towards our military, you have to watch Land of Bad. If you hate our military, if you hate everything, just stay away from it. It's not for you. The most important thing for those of you that are in any way pro-military, maybe you're not married to a veteran like I am, you know, maybe maybe you've never experienced it at all. The key thing about this is how spot on, realistic, with almost no Hollywood involved, this movie is. And Gary's right about the ending. The ending could have gone either way. And I know personally through a friend of a friend of someone who had the exact same experience as the ending, the very ending of, well, not the very, very ending, but the ending, where the action part ends and we find out what happens to the Delta Force, et cetera, where Russell Crowe is basically racing to try to save them. And I have a friend of a friend who confirmed when I talked to the friend who served, they both served, that friend was in the exact same situation about a decade ago in Afghanistan, ironically, of all places. And that it actually worked out the same way it does in the movie. I mean, that's how real this goddamn movie is. It is so well portrayed. It is so well acted. It is so real. And it's, again, it's called Land of Bad. It's on Amazon Prime. I cannot recommend it highly enough for those who would be interested in such a thing.
So my husband read that text to me, and my best friend was, my best friend Stephanie was in town as well. And we I love Lone Survivor. I love all those movies, American Sniper, all the different ones. And so we were like excited all day. We're like, okay, tonight we're all going to sit down and we're going to watch this. And love, right? And yeah, what would you call your wife? She's a champ.
Well, I said,
she stuck with it like a champ.
She came back. She tapped out twice, but she finished it like a champ.
I did not. And I mean, I tapped out once and never came back. It is I watched all of Lone Survivor, all Benghazi, all the different ones. I have watched from start to finish. That is so intense and barbaric. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It is also for me, because we all on this show have such a love for our military. See, it chokes me up right now. Like, I just envision that's going on somewhere. Well, it is somewhere to some of these guys and gals. And so it's brutal.
And that's why it's so real.
It's brutal. Lone Survivor is a fantastic movie, but since that was your comparison, and it's not that one wasn't brutal or barbaric, but this one is next level. Like, after the wife on the lawn scene. Bye. Yeah.
That's nothing.
Exactly. That's when I'm like, okay, this has to be nothing, because then I just go into the kitchen and I'm doing stuff so I can hear it, because they're in the family room, which is connected to the kitchen, and I can hear it, and I'm trying. And my husband Gary's like, do you want me to pause it? I'm like, nope, you keep that going. You too. He and my best friend, they watched it from beginning to end, loved it. And I was happy for him. I didn't say a word, and I could just hear the things. And every so often I'd look over and I'm like, ugh, yep. Okay. I'm staying tapped out.
I'm thinking this. I didn't ask her. I think that Christina felt an obligation to see it through because of the worst of the worst. She, through her experience, was either involved in or knew people close that were involved in almost every scenario that you see in that movie. And that's as vague and specific as I can get. You know, maybe there are things in there that she saw. She did. She heard about. And I think if you truly, so Dawn describes the brutality of just knowing how real it is when you've lived it. I think that's why she came back. I think she's like, I have to see this thing end, because, and it was emotional for her. Absolutely.
Now, was it emotional for you at all? Like, I know you haven't served, and I know I haven't served, but as somebody who hasn't served, are there any moments in that movie where you get all teary-eyed and choked up, especially if you have a love for our armed forces?
I think I would have gotten choked up anyways, sitting next to a person, knowing what she has experienced, things that I can not ever repeat, as I understand it. Makes it a lot harder, but I think I would have been that way anyways. Yeah, there are moments in there that it's not just the pride, and to have somebody sitting next to you who's experienced saying, "Yep, that's how it works. Yep, that's how it happens. Yep, that's exactly no Hollywood there." You're like, it just reinforces that love of military. And yeah, Kyle, being from both of us being from family, surrounded by people,
yeah,
that served, and okay, maybe they did or didn't, you know, experience things like my wife did. They served.
Yes.
And to step up and say, I'll do it, it's got a special place in the hearts of this show. So
you started off saying, hey, you know, if you if you don't support our military, you don't like anything military, that's fine. Just don't watch it, right? And so, but obviously, if you have an interest in that, you love our military, you support our military, it's a great, you know, movie to check out. And I think that's the other thing that bothered me so much, is this is what they deal with, this is what they go through, this is how badass they are. And I think this is another reason that, because I can be privileged in this, I have people all around me that have been able to be badassery for us and our freedoms, and I haven't had to where I walk away. Another reason it's hard to watch, because I get angry that you all don't know this, that you all don't appreciate this. And it's maddening to me what they, men and women, do for us, and what they sacrifice for us, and to the level of which, and that there are so many people that don't know and don't care and don't appreciate it. If I could rip my blood out of me right now, it'd be boiling already and ready to boil some pasta. It makes me so mad. Oh my God.
Ooh, Dawn, blood pasta.
She is Sicilian.
let's segue from that to the pressure cooker, shall we? We've got a pair of tickets to see Foreigner at Hard Rock Live Sacramento Friday night, October 18th. And everybody that wins tickets is qualified for the grand prize drawing, where you're upgraded to the front row. The pressure cooker is our daily trivia game. We play it every single day, but we don't get a winner every single day.
We sure don't.
It's trivia. You either know it or you don't.
You don't.
You got to get 5 right in 30 seconds. None of that matters unless you're caller 18 right now.
You can do it.
888-989-9811 is the number. Caller 18 plays the pressure cooker.
Rob. Anybody. And Dawn. The Rob. Anybody. And Dawn Show.